if you would, when services are over and you get through with your meal, get on the phone or the computer or whatever you might have and invite all your friends to be with us tonight for the Sunday afternoon singing at 5 o'clock. Steve Smith is coming over from Batesville, and I talked with him yesterday afternoon. He said the weather was better that direction. He said, I don't know how many is coming with me, but I know my wife and I is coming. So we're going to let him just kind of run the song service this afternoon. And it would be a great opportunity for people who are not members of the church to be in the presence of a cappella singing. I've invited some of my friends. I've had promises. You don't ever know. They may show up. They may not. So if you have an opportunity, invite as many people as you possibly can. And we're just going to kind of let him talk about a cappella singing and how it is done. And he'll be conducting the song service tonight. We'll stop about 10 minutes till. And have a short devotional and the Lord's Supper. And we said we were going to have, as David said, some finger foods, whatever that means. And I know what it is in my house is chicken salad because I've been watching her make. bring some snacks and we will we'll have a good time in the singing and then the fellowship after. Now, if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Philemon. And it's a little book with about 25 verses that's crowded in between the book of Hebrews and the book of Titus, which is also a short book. Only 15 verses. Just looking at where we have been studying, if you pick up commentaries and things like that, they put it into a category and they call it Paul's prison epistles. And they include the book of Ephesians and Colossians, which we just concluded studying. Philemon and the book of Philippians. So those are the two books that we like concluding that particular study. But just looking at where we find the book of Philemon in our New Testament, what does that teach us about the chronological order of the New Testament? It teaches us that you can't follow the New Testament and assume that it's in chronological order. Now, when I was brought up in the church, I benefited tremendously with understanding the difference and the distinction between the Old Testament and the New. But not only that, I was privileged to have been taught the difference between the patriarchal system and the Mosaical system. And then you get into the New Testament and there's the Christian dispensation or the Christian system. That helped me tremendously when I decided to really want to know more about what the Bible teaches to be able to harmonize it together. David and I have talked a lot, and he made the statement that's one of the things that helped him so much to get a basic understanding of the Bible and its layout in the Old and the New. But one thing I never got coming up in the church. I'm third generation. And we never missed a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I never had any lessons on the chronological order of the Bible. Nor did I have any help on the historical background of the Bible. It was in latter years that I really began to see, you know, it's quite helpful to know the chronological order of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Now, as we conclude the New Testament, it's really going to be beneficial to remember what we studied when we went through the book of Acts. That's another thing that I did not pick up on in Bible classes, is the missionary journeys of Paul. When we go through this remaining section of the New Testament, and we get through with Philemon and Philippians, and we get into Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy, it's going to bring to a close not only those prison epistles, but it's going to leave us in a vast wonderland, wondering when Paul got out of prison in Rome after writing these four epistles. Where'd he go? We know where he went on his first missionary journey. We know where he went, what he did on his second missionary journey. We know what he did on his third missionary journey, where he ended up in prison for 4 years and going shipwrecked on the way to Rome. We know all about that. But what happened between the time that he got out of his prison cell in Rome? Where'd he go? We've got a vast span of time to grasp it. We can look at Titus, and we can look at 1 Timothy. It. Because we pick up in 2 Timothy, and where was he? Back in prison the second time. And what happened? He was put to death as a sentence on that second prison term. So we don't have near the material to follow and go by from that time of his life after these four prison epistles to the end of his life. We know that he referred to himself as Paul the what? Aged. So he was getting on up there in years. But we're going to kind of follow that as we go into our studies. But yet, we're getting toward the time of his life when the inspiration from the Scriptures is very limited as far as where his travels were and where he went. That's going to be an interesting study, just like the first, second, and third missionary journeys were. Some refer to this prison experience in Rome and him being released from prison that first term as maybe his fourth journey, though we don't have a lot to say about it, and there's nothing recorded in the book of Acts. You pick up some of the commentaries, some of the books that we read, and don't even think he was put back in jail the second time. They thought he was executed at the end of this first term. That's kind of difficult for me. Yes, David.
Is that when they think he might have went into Spain? Or is this
went into what?
Spain, or is it a different time?
Yeah, they think when he got out after that first term that he may have gone into Spain. Yeah. Any other questions or comments before we get into the text itself?
Well, probably most people think that this is in chronological order.
That's true.
They probably think, yep, that's the way it goes.
That's right. That is such a good point. Some people just assume that both the Old Testament and the New is recorded by inspiration in chronological order. And if you look at the book of Philemon and you see its order in the New Testament, it follows Titus and it follows 1st and 2nd Timothy. And in reality, Philemon was one of the four books written while Paul was in prison the first time in Rome. And that would have taken place somewhere around 62 to 63. And we've got quite a bit of information up to that point. And from that point on, the information, the inspiration is short. And as Charles says, some just assume that because Philemon, right before Hebrews, is that's where it goes. But no, it doesn't.
And you would think that it may have someone who published a Bible in chronological order.
Yes. Right. I tell you what's helpful to keep up with a chronological order. And we bought about 25 or 30 while they were on sale for $10 or $12 a piece. There are some Old and New Testament translations that have the Bible in chronological order. And you start reading, for example, in the book of Kings. And you read for a while, and you may be next into the Chronicles. And they are, what the point is, the Kings and the Chronicles were written in the same chronological order. But as Charles said, if you're just studying, like, our study formation, when I was coming up in our home congregation, Wednesday night was Old Testament night. Sunday morning and Sunday night was New Testament time. And that's the format that we, you know, that we followed. But you can't just assume that you study 1 Kings and you don't look at Chronicles until you get to Chronicles, then you miss a lot of the picture of what's really going on. That's true right here in the New Testament. If you are not familiar with the chronological order of the New Testament as well as the Old, then it just kind of clouds the picture, raises a lot of questions. And there's enough anyway, just like David pointed out. Some think he went up into Spain when he got out. We don't know, but we do know this. But you've got a very short span of time between the first Roman imprisonment and the second one. Now, in the first one, we're going to notice in Philemon as well as Philippians that he is expected to get out of prison. not only is he expected to get out of prison, but he even makes some arrangements as to where to stay when he gets out of prison. In the second prison term, by the time you get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's telling Timothy to bring his cloak and his parchments, and he needs to get there before winter. And in reality, he pretty much knows that he's going to be declared guilty and he's going to be put to death. He doesn't expect to get out of prison. And so that's kind of the distinction. And in between the two is where we are about to go in our next series of studies. We're going to finish Philippians. Then I'm going to take the book of Titus. David's going to take the book of 1 Timothy. When I finish Titus, I'm going to go right on into 2 Timothy, but we're going to have an understanding that 2 Timothy was written chronologically after Titus and 1 Timothy. Because Titus and 1 Timothy were written after he got out of prison that first term. Any questions or comments now? All right, now notice if you will, to really get the background of Philemon, we're going to have to kind of refer back to our study on the book of Colossians. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 7. And I'm going to read through verse 9. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. I don't know whether you have anything in your New Testament as far as divisions, but I was noticing in this little translation of the New Testament, right above verse 7, it has the word Tychicus and Onesimus. So that lets me know I'm going to be talking about these two guys as I began to read verse 7. What does your New Testament say? Anything above verse 7?
Clothing exhorts what?
Do what?
Clothing exhorts.
Okay, all right.
Mine says conclusion, personal exhortations.
Okay. All right, let's pick up in Colossians chapter 4 and at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. What do you think that means? All my state.
His possessions.
Pardon?
Possessions.
Well, yes, in reality, it could refer to possessions, but here's
everything he's taught him.
Okay, but in reality, where is he at the time of this letter? He's in prison.
Mine says news.
Do what?
Mine says news. All the news about him.
Okay, so in reality, what he's saying that when Tychicus gets to your house or to your congregation, he's going to bring you up to date on my state, physically and spiritually. Remember now, he's been in prison now 4 years. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. What does that tell us about this man?
He's a true Christian.
He's a faithful Christian. What else? He knows the Colossian church, and the Colossian church knows him. Now let's go on. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Now, who in the world is Onesimus?
Runaway slave.
Pardon?
Runaway slave.
A runaway slave. Where did he run away from? Colossae. Who owned Onesimus? Philemon. So, what can we conclude from all of this information when we put it all together? Tychicus, Philemon, Onesimus, who was a runaway slave, is now a New Testament Christian. And in reality, when we finish looking at everything, we're going to notice that what's taking place. We're going to learn that Paul converted him. How he came in contact with Paul while he was in prison, I don't know. But some way, somehow, Paul taught him the truth. And he's sending him back to his slave owner, Philemon, along with Tychicus, who is a fellow faithful servant who knows the Colossian brethren and well familiar with the church in that location. Remember when we looked at these studies? We said Ephesians was about 80 to 100 miles away from Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis. There were several of those congregations that were in a small radius. So here's a man that is considered to be a faithful servant of God that's coming back home after visiting with Paul. He's bringing Onesimus back to his master, and we're going to learn about that when we get into a study of the book of Philemon, how this took place. Now notice, if you will, we close that section out where it says, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So in other words, no Facebook, no emails, no postal service, no UPS routes, FedEx. So they're about to be caught up on Paul's state physically and spiritually as he finishes the end of his prison sentence He's waiting for Nero. He's waiting now to go before Nero. And he's expecting Nero to release him as soon as he goes before the judge and the court system. Now notice, if you will, let's look in that same chapter down at verse 17. No, it's not. Colossians 4. Yeah, let's look at verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be to you. Amen. Now, if you'll remember when David concluded a study of the book of Colossians, he spent one whole Wednesday night dealing with these names that we struggle to even pronounce. We may not pronounce them correctly, but we know that they were very valuable to Paul in this location, and very valuable to him while he was in prison for those 4 years. And so we'll pick up there, and you can kind of see the names of some of the people that were very instrumental in beginning a study of the book of Philemon. Any questions thus far before we get any further? Notice, if you will, how Paul begins Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now here's what I want you to notice. Remember, if you will, while we were studying the book of Acts and Paul's missionary journeys, look back at the books that we covered. We looked at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We looked at Romans. We looked at the book of Galatians. Now we looked at the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. But what is the distinction between the book of Philemon and all of these other books that we've been reading and studying, written by Paul?
This is an individual.
Absolutely. Charles said, this book is different. All of the other books that we've been reading and studying were written to specific congregations. Rome, Corinthians, churches in Galatia, Ephesians, Colossians, congregations of God's people. You're going to notice a little bit different approach. Now, we've still got to cover the book of Philippians. But when we look at the book of Philemon, and we look at the book of Titus, and we look at the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, who are they going to be written to? As Charles said, individuals. Not congregations. Now that doesn't bar this information to be shared with congregations. But remember now, Paul is referring to himself as Paul the agent. He's getting up in you. You're going to notice, if you follow the New Testament pattern, it seemed to be a common trait that whether it be a congregation or an evangelist like Paul that was planting congregations, they had a multiplicity of people who worked with them and helped them. What did that require? Teaching and knowledge. Now, in our society today, it's changed tremendously. I remember as a teenager how excited one of my uncles was that they were going to be able to hire the first full-time minister. Because they were a small, poor congregation out in the country. Now, the two larger congregations in the county, one in Batesville, one in Sardis, they had had a full-time preacher for years. For example, the preacher in Sardis was shared with us. He'd come over after service was over and meet with us a couple of times on Sunday afternoon. But by that time, you had colleges coming into existence. You had Abilene out in Texas. You had Searcy here in Arkansas. You had Freed Hardeman up in Middle Tennessee. And you had David Lipscomb up in Nashville. And then there began to be colleges connected to churches, like Knight Arnold Road had a school of preaching, Memphis School of Preaching, still in existence. That's where Bill McAllister's funeral was preached and where his funeral was conducted. There are still places like that. They were preparing people to preach full time. In reality, it was done in the first century by individuals and individual congregations. That's the reason you see so often, where not all the time, but it wasn't unusual to see elders and deacons do the majority of the preaching and the teaching. So notice, if you will, Paul is going to focus in his latter years right before. Some think that he was executed around 67-68 AD. So you see, he's down to just a few years left in his life. You can see why he would write to people that was close to him, that he had spent time with. Oh, he would love to see young Timothy, who was his son in faith, before his death in Rome. And oh, how he'd like to encourage Titus in the same way. So you can see why these books that were written to individual men were written for a purpose, and they carry a little bit different flow than maybe an entire book. Any questions as we go any further? All right, notice, if you will, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So notice, if you will, he connects Philemon with Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in thy house. Some think that he's looking at a father, a wife, and a son. They as a household were faithful to the Lord. Now, there are congregations today who have set up what they refer to as house churches. And in reality, they'll meet at one location on Sunday morning, and there may be 5 to 10 different locations on Sunday night and Wednesday night where parts of the congregation meet in someone's house. I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here. Because you would place yourself into a situation where there was absolutely no oversight off of the eldership. I don't think that's something that the Lord would be pleased with, to know that there was no oversight in locations where a congregation was meeting. So I think in 1 and 2 Timothy, I mean in Philemon in verses 1 and 2, he's talking about a faithful family who lived in Colossae, who was faithful. And this specific letter we're going to notice is going to take into consideration this runaway slave that Timothy, that Paul is sending back to Philemon. Notice in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, notice if you will, this section, if you divide it out, or this book, the first 3 verses is considered to be the introduction. And I'm going to ask David if he would to read those before we get into our study in a few moments in the book of Philemon. And then verses 4 through 7 covers a little bit different subject matter. We leave the introduction. You get into the fellowship that those people enjoyed. And then you go verses 8 through 11, which really bites into, here's the reason I'm writing this letter. Then it kind of closes out in verses 12 through 22. And notice, if you will, here's the reason that I believe that there is a first imprisonment and a second imprisonment. Because notice in verse 22, he makes the statement, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So notice there, he's saying, look, here's what's going to take place. As soon as I go before Nero, I'm going to be set free. And in the meantime, while that's taking place, I'm sending to you a runaway slave that was considered useless to you. But I converted. And he's been profitable to me. I'm sending him back to you. And he's now going to be profitable for you in this life and with you in eternity. So you see, that really focuses on the individuality of this letter. And we're going to notice as we study the book of Titus and as we study 1st and 2nd Timothy that we're going to see the same thing, though it's not talking about a runaway slave. But that's the point he's making there. Any comments? Yes?
Wasn't it the Optimus, or I can't pronounce the name correctly, probably, didn't he steal something, stole from Philemon, stole something?
It very well could have been, but it's hard to believe that a slave, if he's going to rebel against his master and leave anything in easy grasp that he could take and disperse of and make his travels along the way and pay his expenses, it could very well be. Now that gets into why we're here. Look, if you will, at verse 6. Philemon, verse 6. I'm going to pick up with verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Oh, who is Onesimus now? He's a saint. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The word communication is a word that comes from the Greek expression koinonia, which means fellowship. It's easy for us to think fellowship. What do we think about?
Eating.
But it's more to koinonia than just eating. He's talking about the fellowship that saints, New Testament Christians, enjoy. And he is commending Philemon for really offering himself, his home, his ability to earn wages and money. He's literally bragging on his fellowship qualities as a New Testament Christian. Setting the stage for what? I'm sending somebody back to you that you might want to punish severely for escaping. You ever seen these movies on TV about how they treat a runaway slave? He said, he's now your brother. So he's kind of setting the stage for Philemon to accept Onesimus back. Not as a slave, though he's a slave. He's not free. He's still owned by his master, and he's got to be obedient to his master. But he's saying, look, I know how you treated your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's saying, I'm sending you one you might need to consider thinking. Rethinking the way you would treat a runaway slave. We'll pick up on Wednesday night. We'll finish the book of Philemon on Wednesday night. And then we'll go on next Sunday into the book of Philippians. We'll have the singing tonight and then just look at the rest of Philemon for Wednesday night.